You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzo. I'm on the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And we've got a lot of fantasy football talk on the program today. Chris Meany's going to join me in studio. We're going to talk DFS fantasy football. We'll get Chris Meany's best bets of the week. I'll share my millionaire maker DraftKings lineup with you. Last week, we had a great lineup, but I never expected that it would be Derek Carr to let me down. As unlike his Super Bowl champion brother, David Carr, he used to get it done on a weekly basis. And, you know, last night I was watching the Packers and the Bears game, and it went to that lightning delay. And for the record, in my day, we played in lightning and we accepted it. If you get struck by lightning, God has selected you. He selected you for an early entry into heaven. You know, it's like a 17 million to one chance to get struck by lightning. You go to an NFL football game, they're all worried, ooh, there's lightning 30 miles away. There's lightning 30 miles away. You know what? There's drunk drivers about 3 feet away. Like, you can get run over in a parking lot. I swear, like, six people got run over in a Bills game this past weekend. So numerous hit and runs outside the stadium. You can take a tumble down the steps, split your head open. You can fall off the guardrail. You can do a lot of things in an NFL game. And I bet you they would all mathematically be a higher probability of happening than getting struck by lightning. But whatever, man. Pussified era we're living in right now. I meant to say wussified, but kind of just came out. All right, so nevertheless, soft, soft. What do they say in the WWE? S. A. W. Yeah, soft, but no, all kidding aside. So they go to the delay last day. They go to the break, and they go to the studio with, who is it, Chris Rose. Chris Rose, like, I'm here with Super Bowl champion quarterback David Carr. I'm thinking, Super Bowl champion quarterback? I guess, yeah, he was on the Giants. He was on the Giants. I don't think he took a damn snap all year. But, you know, I'm not one of these guys. You're part of the team. You're part of the team. You practiced. You worked hard. He earned his ring. Just, I don't know if I'd be introducing him off the top as a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, just me, but nevertheless. All right, Green Bay Packers absolutely crushed it. Last night. Big surprise, right? And I love how people try to talk themselves into things. Fantasy guys do it and betting guys do it as well. You know, the fantasy guys, well, the Chicago Bears rush for this much. You know, the Packers, they're missing this. All that crap. You know, it's pretty simple. Didn't matter how the Bears rush the ball. I said this yesterday. I think it was Teddy who was going to tell us, well, the Bears can run the ball. See, it doesn't matter if they're losing 14-0 after 2 minutes, which is exactly what happened. Last night was very simple, people. It was Aaron Rodgers versus Mike Glennon. That's it. Case closed. That's it. You don't need any more analysis. Everyone wants to justify their existence by overanalyzing things. It was Mike Glennon versus Aaron Rodgers. Very, 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 very simple. All right? Tonight's board, not so simple. Tonight's board is pretty tricky. We got USC Trojans taking on Washington State. And, you know, I feel good for Merrill because Steve Merrill joins us every Friday. And poor Steve gets some pretty bad football games to talk about. Yet, you know, that's what we do. You know, we can look ahead, and we're going to look ahead. We're going to talk NFL football, but we're about making money today. So we're locked in on the college football games tonight. And we got four college football games on the board. Normally, there's only one or two on Friday nights, and normally the games kind of suck. Tonight, we got four games, and they're all kind of cool. I'd say three of them are, you know, two of them are really cool. Two of them are really cool. One of them's massive. And the other two are pretty good. So we'll break that down with Steve Merrill. Chris Meany's going to join me in studio as well. I put a lot of time into my DraftKings lineup. When I say a lot of time, I don't know, an hour. But I kicked around a couple of different lineups as far as DraftKings is concerned this week. And, you know, let me reiterate, I don't care about people's fantasy rankings, okay? I don't care, honestly. I watch football. I watch every game. I watch every team play. All right? So when I put my DraftKings lineup together, I approach it not from a ranking standpoint. How do I think this player is going to do in this situation against this team, and why will they do well against this team? Last week, we freaking killed it, man. I can't get over this. We should be thousands of dollars richer if not for the Raiders' crap-ass performance of Carr and Crabtree. But nevertheless, speaking of crap-ass performances, all right, we talked a lot about the Chicago Bears. Quarterback situation in the offseason. And we wondered out loud, what the hell was Ryan Pace thinking with the Chicago Bear quarterback situation? Now, we all know that they traded up to get Mitch Trubisky. I don't have a problem with that. I like Mitch Trubisky. I think Mitch Trubisky has shown flashes. Look at that kid's arm, man. Kid's got a great freaking arm. Thing is, he only started 13 games with the Tar Heels. Right? So he's not necessarily ready to be a starting quarterback in a National Football League. So I like Mitch Trubisky. But the thing is, the Bears had the third pick in the draft. And the Browns and the 49ers were not going to take Mitch Trubisky. And nobody was trading up to take Mitch Trubisky because he only started 13 games in his entire collegiate career. People liked him, but not enough to be trading up to get him, so to speak. Which, okay, I can live with it. You swap spots, you gave him a third and a fourth rounder. The only thing is, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You know what? You didn't want to take a chance. It's like bidding on a home. You overbid on the home because you wanted to get it, and you didn't want to wait out the waiting period. I totally get it. All right, so you did that. But what I don't understand is, if you did that, then why the hell did you give $45 million to Mike Glennon? Then why did you go out and sign Mark Sanchez as well? Mark Sanchez would have been a perfect fit as your starting quarterback for $6 million a year, as opposed to giving Mike Glennon $18 million, I believe, for this year. They're paying nearly $30 million a year for quarterbacks, and none of them are any good. Except we got one kid that's probably pretty good, but he's not playing right now. Which leads us to the biggest mistake of all. Mike freaking Glennon. Like, this dude makes Brock Osweiler look good. And, I'm tired of anybody saying that there's any sort of financial crisis in America, because Mike Glennon and Brock Osweiler are making a combined $35 million this year. So evidently, there's money to go around for everybody. And it's actually one of those things that makes you question whether there is a higher power, that there are people starving in the streets. People in Puerto Rico don't even have power, yet Mike Glennon's living in a palace that makes $18 million a year. You or I, watching and me speaking right now, could do the same thing that Mike Glennon does in the NFL. I could go in there, turn the football over. I could kick around a fumble snap. I could easily throw three or four interceptions. It's amazing to me just how bad Mike Glennon actually is. And the thing is, it's pretty freaking clear. Should they put Trubisky in? Well, of course they should put Trubisky in at this point. You know what? Yeah, he's young. He's got an arm. It can't be any worse than what Mike Glennon is doing right now. But if they do that, then the GM will be exposed and people are going to say, well, we just benched the guy after three games that you just gave a $45 million contract to. Now, listen, I thought I had bad money management, but evidently not. This guy's a young GM in his first year, and I got to tell you, I got to wonder if he knows what the hell he's doing. John Fox does know what he's doing, but John Fox is a dead man walking because this jackass GM didn't even tell Fox he was trading up to get Trubisky. The Chicago Bears are a freaking train wreck. Don't be fooled by how they played at home. Ultimately and fundamentally, they've got a hell of a lot of problems. And the funny thing is, I always thought the Bad News Bears was about a baseball team. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's Fantasy Friday on the program. Chris Meany is going to join me in studio. We're going to talk a lot of fantasy football. We'll get his thoughts. Chris, one of the best in the business of breaking it down. I'll share my DraftKings lineup with you. So far through the season, we've had 3 weeks. What did we make last week? We got $30 back last week. And we got $40 back another time. So we spent $60, three millionaire maker lineups, $20 a piece, and we've gotten $70 back. So, wow, we're up $10. We're up a Happy Meal. But at least we haven't cost you any money. And one of these weeks, we're going to get lucky. We haven't had any luck. Our lineups have been good, but we haven't been lucky. Last week, our lineup was awesome. I'm never going to get over that one last week. But nevertheless, All right, Chris Mead's going to join me. I got my Millionaire Maker lineup a little bit later on. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now, prosportsinfo.com, one of the cover's experts. Busy college football card tonight. Steve, always a pleasure. What's up?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, normally we've only got a crap college game or two to talk about on a Friday night. Tonight we got four games, all of them intriguing in their own right. The worst game of the bunch, Nebraska and Illinois, and even that game should be all right. Miami and Duke, big ACC tilt here. Duke Blue Devils have been great this year, man. And impressive wins, man. 4-0, 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. And they're not playing cupcakes. You know, Northwestern, they beat up. They took care of business against Baylor. Nice 10-point win on the road, Chapel Hill. And you get a Miami Hurricane team coming in here who has owned Duke, though. They beat them 11 out of the last 12 times they played. They've only played two games because of the Hurricane. They were trailing at the half last week against Toledo, and then they absolutely exploded and tore the Rockets apart in the second half. What do you make of this game?
Yeah, keep in mind, they were off for three full weeks, just like Florida State was going into that game last week because of the Hurricane delays. And Florida State came out very flat against NC State in the first half as well, trailed 10-0 as an 11-point favorite early in that game. Miami also a little sluggish, so have to, you know, take that with a grain of salt. They're traveling here on a short week. Now Duke, meanwhile, coming off the huge home upset of North Carolina, staying at home. And this is a rare, as you know, Gabe, a rare primetime home game for Duke. I can't think of one in my 21-year career where they've had one, actually. And the line's a little inflated, though. My power ratings actually make this game around a pick 'em. So even though you look at it, you feel like Miami's got the class edge, you know, laying less than a touchdown, they're going to win the game. I think the line's a little inflated. There might be some more value with Duke than people realize.
And I'm seeing here Duke Blue Devils on our screen, 6-0 against the spread last six home games. Cutliffe's a great coach. He's a good coach against the number as well. Yeah, the number does feel a little bit high. I like the total. Last night, Steve, it was 51.5, 55.5 right now, man. Big, big jump here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Miami's offense did wake up, especially as that game went on last week. The defense, though, was pretty sluggish. Gave up, 30 points against a mediocre Toledo team.
Yeah, so I'm going with Duke. I'm going to take a shot. Sort of reminds me a little bit of last night's game with Iowa State. You know, big-time program, live home dog, you know, national television, going to be going crazy. But the difference is Iowa State's not 4-0. Duke actually is. Duke's been on a nice little run this year. Like I said, they haven't played like powerhouses, but beating the Tar Heels, beating the Baylor Bears, beating Northwestern, they've actually played real football teams so far this year. All right, we got BYU and Utah State on the board. BYU now getting a point in this football game.
Yeah, normally this would be like the standalone Friday night game. BYU-Utah State always play on Friday nights each year. It really is probably the best Friday night card I've seen in several years here. I mean, as you said, the weakest of the four games are two Big Ten teams playing in Illinois and Nebraska. And you've got an ACC game. You've got a huge Pac-12 game that we'll get to. So this one's kind of flying under the radar for that reason. BYU off to that disappointing 1-3 start. They always play a tough out-of-conference schedule because they are an independent still. So every week, tough opponents, LSU, Utah, Wisconsin, three straight losses, three straight non-covers. But, yeah, what jumps out to me is that offense. You know, we saw it back in week one, way back in August, when they only put up 20 points as a 37-point favorite against Portland State. They do have a slight bye coming into this game, so we'll see if they fix those offensive problems. You know, in the NFL, that's an angle I like a lot. Teams that are struggling offensively usually come out pretty good after the bye week. We'll see if it translates to college football.
Well, BYU players are as old as NFL players are. So it's the same scenario. The number's been bouncing around here, unless I'm just beaten down and I'm seeing things. But I've seen BYU is minus one, and then Utah State is minus one, Steve.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, there is no zero, obviously, with overtime now. So that's really just like a half-point move, even though it's switching favorites.
Yeah, I guess exactly. You know, who wins? I think BYU gets it done here. I just think, you know, they can dig down deep. You talked about it. You know, you look at San Jose State. You know, the Aggies kicked the crap out of San Jose State and Idaho State, but then they got beat down when they played against good teams. BYU's been playing a vicious schedule. I think they can suck it up and get it done. They already lost the Holy War to the Utah Utes. I don't think BYU loses, gets swept in state here.
You know, it's interesting also, Gabe, they both played Wisconsin. They both got blown out. But keep in mind, BYU was a 14-point dog at home. Utah State was a 27-point dog on the road. So even if you factor out the 6-point difference for the home fields each way, you know, that's saying BYU should be almost a touchdown favorite still.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to question the odds makers because I'd be rich. Right? Like, obviously, they know what they're doing. But without being stated, you're right. I find this number to be a little bit short here. It's a good point you raised, the correlation. All right, we got Nebraska and Illinois, a very, very rare Big Ten. I can't remember ever a Big Ten game on a Friday night, to be honest with you. Like, what's going on with this? Why are these teams playing on Friday night tonight? Is there a reason?
Well, it's probably because they're not Big Ten teams.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, it's funny you say that because I think this is more of a big 9.5 matchup.
Well, Illinois played South Florida a few weeks ago. Was that a Thursday or a Friday? Remember that game?
That was a Friday night.
Yeah, and they got smoked in that one. It was 2 weeks ago on the 15th.
They hung around in the first half in that game.
Well, they did. They've had a bye since it also. So that's a little bit of a scheduling. Nebraska's got 5 days off for this game. They played last Saturday. Illinois played the previous Friday 2 weeks because they've had 13 days off in between. That could be the difference here.
It's hard to trust Nebraska laying points, Steve. You can't. I don't see it. How can you make a case to lay points for Nebraska on the road?
Yeah, well, I mean, they are averaging 31 a game, 35 on the road this year, so they have a much better offense. Illinois is only averaging about 22 overall, but I think Illinois actually has the better defense. And, you know, we're getting a home dog with defense off the bye week. It's not a bad setup. They're just such a bad team, it's hard to back them.
You know, Chase Crouch struggled a little bit in the last game. Jeff George Jr. came in. I can't believe there's a Jeff George Jr.
Scary.
I wonder if he's as surly and as angry as his father is. That's amazing, Jeff George Jr.
Yeah, that's one time you probably don't want to be a junior, although he was a very good quarterback at Illinois. He was very good at Illinois, not so much in the NFL.
That's the thing. Like, it's already pressure enough. You know, you're Jeff George's kid. Not everyone remembers Jeff George. You know, younger people don't, but you're Jeff George's kid. But to make him Jeff George Jr., you know what I mean? If his name was, I don't know, Tom George or something, like, you wouldn't really, right away, you see Jeff George Jr., like, oh, God. But like you said, yeah, Jeff George Jr. is a legend at Illinois. But I think we got a live home dog here. Like you said, you got a better defense. Team coming off a bye. Lovie Smith's a good coach. You know, they were in tough against South Florida. They actually showed some signs. They had a couple of big plays in that game.
Yeah, and you look at last year, you know, Nebraska won by 15 at home, but they actually trailed at halftime in that game against Illinois as a 3-touchdown favorite. And then the year before that on the road at Illinois as a 3-point favorite, they lost outright 14-13. So they haven't exactly been dominating this series.
And we're talking about a Nebraska team that lost to Northern Illinois.
Right.
Yeah, now we're getting the real Illinois here, getting points on their home field. All right, the big game of the night. This is the only game. This game has national championship implications. I'm not so sure USC or anybody in a Pac-12 really has enough leeway to lose more than one football game. So maybe they can lose one game and get in, depending on what happens in the other conferences. But you don't want to put it in that situation. And if you're the USC Trojans and you're as good as the hype and Sam Darnold and all this stuff, then you got to win this football game. I'm not a big Washington State guy, Steve. I kind of think that they beat up on bad teams. I find him to be inconsistent. I'm not a big Luke Falk guy. I don't think he plays well in big games. But with all that being stated, now I'm on Washington State tonight. I think the number's a little bit high. USC are banged up. And it's a good spot for Washington State here.
Yeah, and I'm not a big Mike Leach guy either, to throw out another name there for Washington State.
I
mean, Paul Westhead, I can never remember which one it was. That's another name from the 90s that we're throwing out there.
But, yeah, you know, but Westhead and Westfall were the same, weren't they? They both coached up-tempo.
They both did the run and gun, right? I just can't remember which one was the Suns, which one was George Mason.
I do that, too, in Westfall and Westhead, but they're both the same, man. They both played up tempo, you know?
And they never, you know, you don't win championships. You don't win big games that way. You put up a lot of stats. You get a lot of wins. You get to a bowl game in football. You get to the tournament in basketball. But that makes me a little nervous here because you feel like you get a pro-style team against kind of a run-and-gun team here. With that said, though, the line is too high. I agree with you. My power ratings only make USC about -3.5, and that's really not even counting in all the injuries they have. They're pretty banged up in offense. I think there'll be a lot of points. I mean, both teams are very explosive offensively. And which USC turns up? Is it the USC that struggled last September and then was as good as anybody the rest of the year? And look, they're struggling again this September. You know, a lackluster win against Cal last week. They barely beat Texas by 3. A lackluster win against Western Michigan in week 1. This team is 4-0 straight up. They're 1-3 against the number, and the spread looks inflated once again tonight.
And how about this? You know, I'm with you as far as Mike Leach is concerned. He's a funny guy. He's a smart guy. He's a great interview. But he does a lot of weird things. As you stated, that sort of pop gun, run and shoot offense. But Washington State actually do play some defense. They actually do run the football a little bit. I've noticed the last 2 years he's getting away from the old just, you know, red, the Red Raider sort of spread him out offense. And we can't dispute the fact 15-5 against the spread in his career when he's an underdog taking on an undefeated football team, including 9-1 against the spread while he's been a coach at Wazoo in this spot. And as you mentioned with USC, I'm not sure how good of a coach Clay Helton is. He's a good recruiter, but he's going to be a good coach. Can he win games like this? And USC clearly are feeling the pressure, Steve. They're not covering the numbers. They're fighting. They're battling to win games. Darnold's already got 7 interceptions. He only threw 9 interceptions the entire year last year. He's already got 7. I think he's feeling a little bit of the Heisman pressure and the national champion pursuit pressure. A lot of pressure on USC coming into tonight.
Interesting scheduling spot here. This is Washington State's 5th straight home game to start the season.
Yeah, I don't
get that. They'll travel for the first time at Oregon next week. So you can imagine if they come off a loss in this game and then they got to go to Oregon next week. Or, hey, even if they come off a win, you saw what happened to Mississippi State last week going into Georgia. They lose 31-3 after upsetting LSU at home. So either way, take a look at maybe Oregon next week, regardless of the outcome tonight. But look at the schedules overall. USC's played Stanford, Texas, Cal the last 3 weeks. Much tougher opponents. So you do feel like they're a little bit more ready for a big game. Washington State's been a 17-point favorite in 3 of their 4 games this year. The only game they weren't was as a 7-point favorite against Boise, which they barely won 47-44. And then we see Boise lose last Friday night outright to Virginia. So, you know, who knows what Washington State really has.
Yeah, I can't disagree with all those points. I was on Boise State on the money line in that game. Number was actually 10, and it came down to 7 before kickoff. But it was a winnable game for Boise. You're right. Wazoo got real lucky in that football game to come out alive. All right, let's switch gears to the National Football League. Lions and Vikings. To me, this is a game that's kind of flying under the radar with bettors. Obviously, it's not a marquee game, and TV shows aren't going to talk about it much. But the Vikings are just a damn good football team, specifically at home, Steve, even with Case Keenum. You know, Case Keenum started on short notice against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. And he wasn't terrible. It was a tough spot for him to be in. Short week, they played on a Monday night. But we saw Case Keenum at home last week. What was he, 25 or 33, 3 touchdown passes? You know, and I'm not sure how good Detroit is either. It seems, to me, the number's a little low. I don't get this. I think people overvalue Detroit for some reason. Same with last week with the Falcons being a short number. I guess the public and the odds makers like the Lions all the time. I don't know why.
Yeah, I actually had the Cardinals in week 1 against Detroit as a road favorite, you know.
We would have won that game if David Johnson didn't get hurt. We were up by 10. Their best player gets hurt, we lost, Steve. I was on the cards, too.
Yeah, and then look, just in week 2, Detroit goes into the New York Giants, who were really looking bad at the time. They were a 3-point road dog. So now the odds makers are saying the Vikings are a point worse at home than the Giants. I'm not sure that's the case. Now, obviously, Detroit's played better than expected. But they caught Atlanta at home. Atlanta was coming off the big Sunday night home opener, home stadium opener against Green Bay. So I don't think the Falcons were at their best last week. See, I'm not a believer in Detroit either. And, hey, I like Case Keenum. I think he's better than a lot of the starters in the NFL and these other teams. When he was down in Houston, he played well. So I don't think that's much of a drop at the quarterback position. But I think the odds makers and the betting public are factoring it in more than it should be.
And if you look at the Vikings offense, they really just sort of spray it around with quick hits. Quick hits. Bradford can throw it down the field, but generally they're quick hits and they got playmakers once they get them the football. Case Keenum can play in that offense. I actually question, why do you guys have Case Keenum as your backup when you know that Bradford is kind of fragile and brittle? But clearly they like him, and last week, you know, he showed why. And we, you know, like you said too, Detroit, all right, you beat Arizona, good for you. David Johnson got hurt. The New York Giants wouldn't have beaten anybody on that Monday night game a couple of weeks ago. That was like all-time bad football. Last week, all right, they played well against the Falcons, but they still ended up losing a football game. They battled. But I think now they're going to be a little bit worn out after that emotional game last week. Now you got to go on the road against the Minnesota team that's been at home. They were at home last week. Case Keenum's going to be in a rhythm once again playing in this stadium, and that Viking defense is suffocating.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look at the scheduling set up here. They win back-to-back games. The Detroit Lions win back-to-back games outright as an underdog to start the year. That's usually a letdown for that third game. But like you said, they fought hard, only lost by 4 last week as a 3-point home dog. So really 3 tough games in a row now traveling. Meanwhile, Minnesota remains at home after a 17-point win in a strong stadium. And that new home field has been very loud the last couple years since it opened. And I think it's more of a home field edge than people realize.
I like the Vikings a lot. All right, Bills-Falcons. I'm a Bills fan. But last week I thought Denver was going to beat them. So anyone that ever says I'm biased can go screw yourselves. I look at this game. Hard to make an argument for the Bills here, but I don't know, man. There's just some little thing. We talk about scheduling. All right, so Super Bowl hangover, first game of the year. Falcons were really focused. The Bears game was kind of close, but they survived it. Boom. You know, they got that big game against the Packers. National television, they take care of business. They smoke them again. They go into Detroit on the road, you know, against a 2-0 team. They take care of business. They get it done. I'm thinking this is almost the first game where they can exhale a little bit. Say, all right, we got the Bills. It's not like this is the first non-intense game for them.
I think there's something to that. They also have a bye week on deck next week. That always concerns me a little bit. You know, do you get caught looking ahead to the bye? I'm not a believer in Buffalo, but I actually had a best bet on them last week. I thought that was a terrible spot for Denver. So I don't give the Bills a lot of credit for the outright home dog win. That was a pure play against the Broncos for me. Back-to-back home wins to start the season, both big home games, a Monday night spotlight game, then the big win against the Cowboys. It was a terrible spot for Denver. So I'm not sure Buffalo's anything special. And keep in mind, the home team is 3-0 straight up in ATS in the Bills games this year, and I think that's a trend we'll probably see work throughout the season. Atlanta, meanwhile, very strong at home on that fast track. Line's inflated, though. Hey, Gabe, I think it makes a great teaser play. Take it down to -2, you know, and get it basically in a straight-up win situation.
Yeah, to me, I don't know, because seems like they're just giving you a gift. The number's a little short here with the Falcons at 7.5 in this spot. But, no, the Bills are one of only two teams in the National Football League, guys, who are 3-0 against the spread. Them and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I guess you could say depending on when you bet that Jet game. Because, you know, they ended up winning the game by 9.
But when the Panther game went down to 6 by that kickoff.
Yeah, that was a push for some, but it was 7 for a lot of others. You're right.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on your number there. All right, Giants and Bucks. You know, Giants are already screwed, but they can pretend their season's still alive if they win this game. I don't think they will, though. And I don't really – I'm not a big believer in the Bucks, Steve. I mean, last year I was like, oh, they're a trendy team. I bought in last year. I think you did, too. We said this team could potentially make the playoffs this year, and I put a bet on it, +350. You know, I don't know, man. They just don't seem to be getting that much better, but they've only played 2 games, so I don't want to overly judge them. If they don't win this game, then they are what they are. But to me, this is a winnable game for the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, last year my 2 play-on teams were Tampa and Oakland, and they both won outright as dogs in week 1. It was looking pretty good, and then Oakland, of course, was fantastic last year. Tampa was kind of mediocre, but they picked things up a little bit. And it's really tough to make a judgment on them right now. That week 1 game was canceled against the Dolphins due to the hurricane. They actually looked really good against the Bears, a 29-7 win that next week at home. And then the only other game was last week's loss at Minnesota. But as we both just talked about, the Vikings, you know, are decent right now. So I don't discredit Tampa too much for that loss. The Giants, meanwhile, really struggling. They didn't really fix their offense last week. I mean, some of those points were garbage points, a short drive off a turnover, et cetera. But then the way they lost that game, blowing the lead, losing late on a 61-yard field goal, and now going to 0-3, where you basically have, what, a 2% chance mathematically of making the playoffs historically, doesn't look like a good spot for the Giants to all of a sudden flip the switch and turn it on in a non-conference game or non-division game this week.
You know, we should know the Giants are 5-0 straight up and 4-1 against the spread in Tampa. There's a ton of New Yorkers in Florida, so it sort of always has that. You know, there's a lot of Giant fans. They're going to be at this.
Yeah, but they'll be booing the Giants more than the Tampa fans.
Yeah, they might. You're a good point, Steve. They're going to turn on Eli and company. A lot of injuries for the Giants as well coming into this football game. This is a tough spot. I think there's going to be some points, actually. I think the Giants will score a little bit, but I think so will Tampa. And it's gut check time for both the Giants and the Bucks. And I think the Bucks just have more in the tank. I just think they have more in the tank right now. All right, so speaking of tanks, before we get you out of here, NASCAR, Steve, elimination week. Four drivers must go. So who's on the cut list here? Austin Dillon, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, and Casey Kane. All 4 drivers are going to have to be aggressive this week.
Yeah, and I think it's something to keep an eye on. It's, you know, guys, maybe on your fantasy teams, those middle-tier guys are okay, but be careful with them on win bets because only 4 guys are locked into the next round. And that, of course, is Kyle Busch and Martin Truex because they both have wins. But then Kyle Larson and Keselowski are automatically advancing even if they finish dead last. So they can kind of go for gusto and go for the wins, the top 4. And then the bottom 4 that you just mentioned kind of need a win as well, at least the bottom 2. And then there's kind of a quagmire there, about 5 or 6
yeah.
guys right at the cutoff line. Be very careful with those guys because they are not going to take any chances on fuel mileage or anything else if they're running top 10, top 15.
Well, Jimmy's one of those guys. Jimmy's in 7th place right
yeah.
now. So he's sort of right there. He's not in danger of getting knocked out, but at the same point in time, you know, he can't take the pedal off the metal. And this is his course. You know, this is his track. So what do you make of Jimmy in the 8-to-1 range? But, the recent form hasn't been great, but
exactly.
We said this before about this guy. And, you know, he's won 11 times here, including this year.
And he had 3 wins earlier this season, and about those were his only top fives the entire season at that point were his 3 wins. So he either gets the win or he hasn't really even been top 10 this year.
Exactly.
You look at Casey Kane, you look at Earnhardt Jr., that team has been way down. Now, I know Chase Elliott's run well, and he actually could do well here this week. But that Hendrick team, and we keep talking about Toyotas have just been dominating, the Chevys haven't.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're with Jimmy Johnson, don't look and go, he does well here, I'll play some matchups, because it'll be all or nothing. You're right, he'll either win, lock it down, or it's going to be a disappointing finish for him. Well, disappointing for him, man, 9th or something like that.
Right.
All right, so we got to get out of here. Always a pleasure. Check out Steve over at ProSportsInfo.com. He's also one of the cover's experts for his best bets. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
All right, Chris Meany will join me in studio. We'll shift gears. We'll talk some DFS football and get Meany's best bets.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Welcome Chris Meany into the studio. Time flew by with Steve Merrill, so we'll get right down to business. Week 4 already, hard to believe, Chris. When Monday night's game comes to a close, we're already 25% through the regular season. We're not quite at the Bill Parcells. You are what your record says you are, but I'll tell you what.
Close.
The standings start to count. When you're 25%, you know, if you're the Titans and you're 3-1, it's real.
Yes.
It counts. If you're the Rams and you win somehow this week, it's real. This stuff's getting realer and realer, and we talked about it. 0-2 teams, you know, 11% chance of making a playoff. 0-3 teams, 2% chance. 0-4, one team in the history of the NFL. Since the AFL, since the merger in 1970, only one team went 0-4 and made the playoffs in 1992. Where did they play at the time? San Diego Chargers. All right. You can let Boltman in this week, guys, but we'll get to this game.
San Diego moves over to L.A. It's the same old Chargers, though.
All right, that doesn't matter. Okay, let's get down to business. It's been a weird year. It's been a tricky year for fantasy purposes, in which on a weekly basis, Tom Brady's been consistent. Aaron Rodgers has been consistent.
Yes.
But other than that, there's been a lot of money to be made and value with the Tier 2 quarterbacks, the Bradfords, the Keenums, the Simeons of the world.
Yeah.
And it's happening on a weekly basis, and I'm looking in this wheelhouse again this week. Guys that catch my eye at the quarterback position, good value guys this week, Chris. Case Keenum, $5,000, 25 and 33 last week, playing at home once again. A favorable matchup against the Detroit Lions. Deshaun Watson, $5,100. You know, we saw what Russell Wilson did last week against the Tennessee Titans defense. Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, I like Siemian.
No one's going to want Siemian going back home against the Raiders. $5,200. What's your take on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's some quarterbacks with some tough matchups this week. Derek Carr is up near the top. He's got a tough matchup. He's never done well against the Broncos. Ben Roethlisberger, the splits are real. He hasn't done well against Baltimore. The one game back in 2014 was at home. So I'm with you. I don't know if I'm feeling Case Keenum. I understand where you're going. It's pretty cheap. I think this Detroit Lions defense, Gabe, is a little bit underrated. I mean, Darius Slay's playing pretty good. Matt Ryan had three interceptions last week. They have 7 picks, one off the league lead. They have 8 sacks. And Case Keenum, a career day for him. I understand where you're going in this situation. He's at home, and he had a really good game. He's got some weapons there in Diggs and for Thielen. I love the Trevor Siemian play. Siemian struggled inside Buffalo last week. He goes back home against the Raiders. They've allowed the 4th most points to quarterbacks. Their defense is atrocious.
At home in 2 games, 6 touchdown
and
passes.
And 7 total if you want it. Yes, and 1 on the ground, right? So, off Tom Brady. So 6 passing touchdowns, as you mentioned. He's really cheap. I don't understand that at all. And for his weapons, and Demaryius Thomas is cheap, and Emmanuel Sanders, 15 targets in that game against the Bills, 2 red zone touchdowns. So I'm going in with that Denver stack, I really like Simeon and his weapons this week.
I like C.J. Anderson this week to bounce back. A guy that people are going to shy away. Going, oh, C.J., he's already undervalued all the time.
All the time. I don't understand why he's
fifth leading rusher in the National Football League.
Yeah, I know. And he's
and
the
he
guy
owns
that's
the Raiders.
Exactly. And this is just, I love all the weapons against Oakland. And when they get inside the red zone, we saw Jamal Charles
Chris Thompson looked like Barry Sanders last week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so when they get inside the 20, it's going to be C.J. Anderson. So I like all the Broncos this week. And they're, like you said, they're all very, very cheap.
A running back that I think is set to break out this week. And I don't have him in my DK lineup because I got A.J. Green in my lineup. And I didn't want to get the running back in here and the wide receiver. But I think Joe Mixon, he doesn't have a touchdown yet. Book it. For you bettors out there, will Joe Mixon score a touchdown? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm calling the shot.
Me
Joe
too.
Mixon gets in the end zone this week. Probably has 100 yards rushing. Yeah. He got 93, maybe two touchdowns. It's Joe Mixon's coming out party this Sunday.
I agree. I called that, too, on the DFS value menu lineup on Fantasy Sports Network here is Mixon. I mean, he out-touched, he out-snapped those guys for the first time, and he ended
new
up with 21 touchdowns.
New offensive coordinator.
And Bill
Lazor
came in. Yeah. Exactly. What did he do? He took the training wheels off Mixon, and he went to A.J.
Green. In a big game at Green Bay.
A huge game.
Saying, this is a big game. Our season's on the line. We're putting the kid in.
Yeah, no surprise that A.J. Green had double-digit targets, over 100 yards and a touchdown.
You
and no surprise
it.
That Mixon.
I'm going back to A.J. Green again this week.
How do you not? And you have to. And this is a more of a desperate team. You just mentioned the stats in 0-4 team. So this is a team extremely desperate.
Yeah, but the Giants are screwed. The Bengals really aren't. You look at that division. Steelers aren't scaring anybody.
No.
The Browns suck. And who the hell are the Ravens?
The Ravens offense is awful.
The Bengals are still in this thing.
They really are. They're still in this. And if you look at Cleveland, you just look at everyone from Crowell, Duke Johnson, Kenny Britt, all of these guys questionable having practice. So if Cincinnati can get up in this game, I think we'll see a little bit more from Mixon, some more carries, 21 touches, and over 100 total yards. I'm with you, Gabe. I think that this guy can crack 100 on the ground, and I think that he can find the end zone a couple times. This is, if you are trying to buy low on Mixon from a seasonal standpoint, DFFs aside, the window is closing. You need to try to get him now.
All right. Are there any other, and I've actually got him on one of my teams, and I'm happy. I was like in the first week, I was like, God, why did I draft this guy?
Yeah, and everyone was thinking that way. But if you were looking ahead, then seeing that Mixon was, it's only a matter of time, you could get this guy.
Too,
yeah.
So I was like, all right,
and you could have gotten him cheap in leagues over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, okay, so who are a couple of guys I didn't bring up? Maybe quarterbacks, running backs, what's your take on the wide receivers? I was looking at Thielen, $5,100, no touchdowns, but in two home games, 14 catches, 255 yards. But you didn't seem to be so high on
Keenum. Yeah, a little hesitant here on the Vikings.
Who are some of the wide receiver value guys out there?
I think that some of the wide receiver, I like A.J. Green, obviously he's up there in price. Keenan Allen, I think, is pretty cheap considering he's fourth in the league.
$7,200. I was taking a look at him.
Yeah, and the Eagles' secondary right now, no Ronald Darby, it's really bad. Fletcher Cox is questionable in this game. The Eagles have allowed
Williams?
The most.
What about Williams?
Like him, too.
On the Chargers.
And
I
like
was taking
him too,
a look at him.
Because he hasn't done anything yet. So
and he's
cash,
the number two guy.
Exactly. So in cash, maybe not, but in GPPs, the fact that he hasn't done anything yet, and the Eagles, 49 receptions allowed to wide receivers so far is number one in football. The third most fantasy points to wide receivers. I really like Keenan
everybody
Allen,
on the Giants.
And I like Williams. Oh, everybody. And they hadn't done anything all year, Gabe.
Yeah.
So everybody, even Shepard, Odell Beckham Jr., and Brandon Marshall. So those guys I'm in on. I think that people should pay up for LeSean McCoy. And for LeSean McCoy,
LeSean McCoy, really, you like him, eh?
I love him. In this matchup, 4.8 yards per carry allowed on the ground, Atlanta. That's the third most. The third most fantasy points, 26 catches to back. They're the second most, 109, a league high last year. For McCoy, 18 catches is the second most among backs and 12th most in the NFL. So they're going to have to throw the ball a little
bit here.
I've
got Charles Clay in this game.
I love Clay, too. Six touchdowns in his last eight games.
He's the leading wide receiver on that team.
Yeah.
He's the leading targets, most catches.
They're going to have to throw the ball. So those are guys that I do like
to
pay
up
on some of those
backs. I want to get your opinion. We've got like a minute and a half or something like this. So I want to get your opinion on the football game because you're an Eagle fan. But I briefly looked at Alshon Jeffrey in this matchup.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. I got Sammy Watkins in my lineup, thinking outside the box.
I'm playing golf this week, too.
Yeah, you're riding the Rams every week. Why stop, right?
The league-high 107 points heading into this matchup.
Guys,
Cowboys can't stop anybody.
Dallas Cowboys have 10 DBs on their roster.
Yes.
Six of them are hurt.
Yeah. They had seven new starters this week.
No joke. Like, they are literally, they're all hurt. The only guy that's there is Scandrick. Everybody else is hurt.
Everybody.
All right, so
I like a lot of points in that game. Dak and Zeke and everybody in that game.
I think the Rams covered a number two.
Me
all right,
too.
We've only got 1 minute. Eagles at Chargers. I've been picking on the Chargers on a weekly basis. This is the week I actually think they win.
Me too. I like the Chargers in this game. Phillip Rivers laid an egg last week against a tough defense in Kansas City. This is much better for him this week. I mentioned all the problems in the secondary in Philadelphia, Fletcher Cox. I think this is a great matchup for Phillip Rivers. I think this is a great fantasy matchup for those wideouts. So an East Coast team traveling over to the West Coast, this spells trouble for me. I like the Chargers in this matchup too. And I got the Rams at 8.5 when it opened up. It's now 6.
Look at Chris Shrewd betting earlier in the week.
Yeah, I'm all over the Rams, man. I just like what's going on. It's amazing when they get an offensive coordinator in there to call some plays. And Sean McVay, like, Fisher wasn't doing anything
for
that
offense.
They
win this game. So. They could win their division.
Yeah, and this is a really good test for them. The schedule gets tough moving forward, but I like this matchup for them.
All right, we're going to come back with our Millionaire Maker lineup of the week.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Time to sit on Fantasy Sports Network continues. If you want to get great fantasy advice from people that are a hell of a lot smarter than I am, head over to dailyroto.com, enter code FNTSY, get 10% off for a DFS kit, expert projections, analysis, lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com. So enter code FNTSY, get 10% off your DFS kit. And you know what? There's money to be made out there, guys. I think out of all the DFS sports, I believe that football is the easiest to make money. You know, baseball is just it's a numbers, math. It's a pain in the ass putting a lineup together. Football is fun, but I think you can make money. And let's jump in and try to help you make some money this week. All right, so we're 3 weeks in right now. We've gotten $70 back for our investment. So we're up $10 on the season, guys. Now, I know, and I believe it's my boy Jonathan Rivera. What's up, John? I appreciate the support, and thanks for watching. Last week, man, we had a great lineup, guys. We had 132 points going into the Sunday nighter. Man, we were going to make some nice money. All we needed was Carr and Crabtree not to suck, but they sucked. It is what it is. It's a DFS bad beat. We move forward. I'm shaking it up this week. I like my lineup this week. Head-to-head, nobody's beating this. Nobody! Start off in the quarterback position with Deshaun Watson. All right, so he had 7 DK points and a half against the Jags. That was his first introduction to the NFL. All right, let's say it would have been 14 in a game. Then he got 17 against the Bengals. He got 25 versus the Pats. What did I say in the offseason about this with a quarterback battle? I said, yeah, Savage might be more ready, but Watson will get better on a weekly basis. And he won't be the same quarterback as he was in week 3 as he was in week 7. And now he gets a nice matchup. It's not easy playing against the Jags defense, against the Bengals defense. Patriots defense isn't great, but a tough spot on the road at Foxborough. Now he goes back home to take on a team that Russell Wilson just absolutely murdered. I think he can throw for 2 touchdowns. I think he can run for 1 or so. And the thing about him, he's averaging like 54 yards a game on the ground as a starter. That's the equivalent of like 1 touchdown pass. That's like just, you know, gravy on top of what he's going to bring. I think it's going to be a higher scoring football game against the Tennessee Titans. I like Deshaun Watson. C.J. Anderson, rough week last week against the Buffalo Bills. Bills aren't easy to run the football on, man. Don't forget, Thompson looked like Barry Sanders last week against the Raiders. He runs well against the Raiders, too. 310 yards, 3 touchdowns his last 3 games against the Silver and Black. C.J. is still 5th in the league in rushing right now. He's averaging 4.4 yards a clip. I have no problem with C.J. Anderson in this spot. Let's go with my boy Dalvin Cook, $6,500. Second leading rusher in the National Football League with 288 yards, 27 carries last week, 5 receptions. I'm not a math expert, but 32 freaking touches? Sign me up. Lions had trouble with Freeman and Coleman last week. Dalvin Cook's going to be a big part of this offense, dumping it off, running the football. I think it's more than fair value at $6,500 for Dalvin Cook. Now, my wide receivers, great team, I'm telling you. Odell Beckham. I wasn't planning on playing Odell. And while Odell does upset me, the kid is ultra freaking talented, and I think it's going to be a higher scoring game this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneer team that's given up 659 passing yards in two games. They're allowing opposing quarterbacks to complete 71% of their passes through two games. Last year, the Detroit Lions did that, and that set an NFL record. So it just lets you know how bad Tampa's secondary has been so far. We see Odell getting a little bit healthier. I think Tampa are going to win this football game, but I think Eli, and they're so freaking desperate, they're going to be throwing the ball. You saw all the targets that Beckham got last week. You know, McAdoo's job could be on the line. They're going to force feed Beckham. And I have money to spend on my wide receivers because I went cheap at quarterback, and you'll see I saved you some money later on in the lineup as well. Sammy Watkins saved me a little money here. $5,900. Sammy was the death of me for the last couple of years, but I'm a big Sammy Watkins fan, and I'm not one of these jackass fans because he plays for another team now. I'm not like, oh, screw him. I hope he does well in L.A. I like him, and he is doing well in L.A. right now. He's not getting targeted a ton, but when he gets the ball, he makes plays. And you look at the Dallas Cowboys and the injuries that they have in their secondary, they don't have anybody that's going to be able to run with Sammy Watkins, okay? Skandrick's the only healthy guy they have. It's a lot of speed on the Rams. McVay does a great job calling plays. I have confidence. And another thing is, even let's say the Rams are kind of struggling and they're playing from behind, they're going to have to throw the football. I think Sammy Watkins gets 5 to 7 catches, scores a touchdown, finishes in a 90-yard range. I like Sammy Watkins in this spot. We're going big again with A.J. Green. I mean, come on, man. We got Beckham and Green on the same freaking team here. We told you A.J. Green was a great start last week. He got us 30 points. He's going to kill it once again with the new OC here. You know, they're going to force feed him. 10 catches, 13 targets, 30 DK points. Why don't we do it against the Cleveland Browns here as well? All right, Ryan Griffin. You know, Ryan Griffin turns out, even the fantasy footballer guys, they're talking about Ryan Griffin. Ryan Griffin's a trendy pick this week. And I guess I'm a trendy guy because I like him. I like the fact that he's $3,500. I like, you know, Fedorowicz is out. And I like the fact that Watson has practiced with this guy on the second team through all of training camp. You know, look, Dak Prescott had that chemistry with Cole Beasley. Why? Because he was playing on the second unit, right? So in practice, staying late, throwing balls. You can tell Deshaun's got sort of a little, chemistry thing. I was looking for another word, but chemistry is a good word to use. So I like Griffin in this spot. Charles Clay, I'm a Bills fan, but we're going to be trailing in this football game. Tyrod Taylor throws the ball to Charles Clay more than he throws to anybody else. Charles Clay is the Buffalo Bills' leading target getter, and he is their leading receiver as well, even though he's a tight end. So with the value of Griffin and Clay for $7,200, I think they can give us some decent numbers when you combine the two numbers together. And last week, I gave you the Jets as my defense. They were the least expensive defense, and some jackass said he was going to unfollow us, said I like his lineup till I saw he took the Jets defense. I'm going to unsubscribe. I hope you unsubscribed, and I hope you lost all your money, jackass. How'd the Jets defense do last week? Pretty good. But I'm going to be honest with you because I'm an honest guy. I liked the Jets defense last week. I don't really like the 49ers defense, but I had to. I didn't have a choice because I got all these stars in my lineup, but I can live with it. I don't trust Arizona's offense. This lineup is going to make us money. Game Time Decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's rare that we have so much college football on a Friday night, but I'm not complaining. Let's start off with an ACC tilt. Give me the Duke Blue Devils. And no, this isn't a basketball game. We got Miami and Duke on the board tonight. Duke Blue Devils are 4-0 against this spread. Miami have owned them historically, but I like this Blue Devil team. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game, although I like the total when it was low earlier in the week, but I still will go over the number. BYU. BYU always stumble out of the gate because they play such a tough schedule. They're not going to lose two games in state. They already lost to Utah. They're going to beat Utah State. Illinois, this is going to be a smaller pick, but Nebraska shouldn't be 6-point favorites on the road against anybody. Let's go over 47.5. The big game of the night, I'm going to take Wazoo here. USC feeling the pressure of the national championship implications, and let's go over the 6. The other night, you're on your own, made a winner's be yours.